All hail Jason.
Yeah.
All hail the lamb.
All hail
I'm Canadian,
Tiny Thumbs Lamb.
Thus, I'm higher than you in latitude.
Yeah. Suck it.
Welcome to episode 145 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am officially becoming a cranky old man, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I typically come up with very clever things on the spot for most occasions.
My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I'm here to remind you that, like fishing, serial killing can be a relaxing pastime.
Oh, that's like your best one ever. I love it.
Gosh, what's he going to do next week?
That's so what I'm cathartic. Worried about. Kill us both. Just kind of...
Much like fishing, I have killed many people.
It was so relaxing.
Jason, those things don't go together. Jason,
he's alluded
no,
to
those
it
things don't go together.
Remember that episode where he was the Canadian assassin?
Sorry. And then he was a communist for a while.
Yeah.
Overthrowing governments every vacation he takes. That guy, I tell you. To everyone watching, everybody listening, just a quick reminder, this is our second to last episode. Next week is the last episode. And like I said, last episode, tonight's episode is nothing but listener emails. In fact, the only point of business I have before that is 2 weeks ago for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
The theme was, oh, holy crap, I put it after the emails in my show notes, because I always do, that was a bad idea, the theme was child protagonists. And we brought games such as Hunter's Jet Grind Radio for Dreamcast, Junior's Revenge from Jason on the Dragon 32/64. I brought Baby Boomer on NES. And saying the games before the result would have been a good idea for the past 2.5, almost 3 years. However, I'll start doing it for the first time tonight to tell you that the winner was... Can you guess who won? It wasn't me.
You say Hunter.
Correct!
Yes!
Jason pulled a Jason and went just a shade too obscure. In fact, I was able to match him in votes, even with an arguably awful game. Jet Grind Radio took it easily out of...
So I need, what, like 5 or 6 more wins to catch up to you?
Sure.
Is that right?
You should be able to do that. You get a win every day until then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be all right.
Just need everybody to vote every day.
Yeah, every day.
Until then.
Yeah. If you two can just talk for a moment, I have to do something secretive to prepare. Right. Then I'll be right back. Cool. Then we're just gonna drive straight into emails. Just go right away. So
we're just driving. Mm-hmm. We're driving a truck. Through
I meant dive, but drive worked. So I went with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go.
According
to my Excel sheet of One More Castle wins, Bailey hasn't
yes,
won.
Yes, please.
Bailey hasn't won since episode 124.
Oh, thank you, God. That is a beautiful thing you just told me. It's so good. But I'm still down, right? I'm still down, like, what, 2, 3 episodes?
11.
You're shitting me.
I have 40.
I'm down 11 from Bailey?
No. You're up on Bailey. Bailey's got 29.
Oh, no. I'm not trying to beat you.
No.
That's impossible.
You're winning against Bailey. You're up by 3.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so yes. Bailey's got 29. Mm. You've got 32. I got 43. Yeah, fuck Bailey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not really my type. He's kind of like tall and gangly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll climb that tree if it comes to it. Trying to think of all my tall girl euphemisms that typically work.
I liked it.
Good.
But I was saying before, you should definitely play Chex Quest with the Brutal Doom mod.
Oh, I have?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. You run out of ammo right away, though.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the original game has been kind of tied with an overabundance of ammo, and then if you continue through the game without dying consistently, you build that ammo up, so it's a lot all at once, and then it kind of trickles off. But with Chex Quest, it's a tough game. I played that game as a kid. I bought the Chex cereal to get the disc to play the game, and that is not a kid's game. That game is, today, as an adult, I am a grown adult. Many of you may not know that because we talk about video games on a consistent basis, but I am a grown adult. I'm a grown ass man. It was brutal getting through mission 3 with the multiple elevators having to go up and down, and it's a tough game. So,
Did he leave again?
It's a great game. We don't need him, Jason. It's just me and you.
Like I said before, fuck
me. Let's not forget about the PC gaming podcast we're going to start.
Yes.
It's very
Every
important.
Thursday.
Oh, my God. I love Nintendo. Everything Nintendo. Oh, my God.
Nintendo's fantastic. I love it. Mario.
I love it.
I'm detecting a shade of tomfoolery going on.
No.
What?
There's only so many
49 shades of Mario.
I should write that and become a best-selling author.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Hey, baby. Want to see my wrench? You know why they call us the Hammer Brothers?
Oh.
So you've got... You throw hammers?
You slide down my pipe any day.
All right. This is getting out of control.
See? I knew that would be a good segue. Because now you guys are ready for listener emails, right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
It's all we're doing tonight, baby. Here we go. Number one. Do I have to number them all now? Number one. Dear pod people. So this is it, eh? Yikes. Here are a couple of questions. One. You've featured all kinds of different chip-related artists on here, including me. Thank you again. But when it comes to retro hardware, do you guys have a favorite sound chip / system? Are there any individual game soundtracks you would like to have featured on here but didn't get the chance to? And number two. Japanese box art was always the best. Gross generalization or simple truth? Thanks for making my Monday afternoons slightly less professional. Fat Nick.
Oh, Fat Nick.
Yeah, right? Right? Hunter knows what's up.
I like his stuff. He's really good at what he does.
He does good work.
All right, so the first part was...
Favorite sound chip / system for music. What machine for video games makes the best electronic music you like?
Man, I mean, it's got to be NES. Those are the tunes that stick with me the most. I know I'm a Sega guy. I love the Genesis, but I don't know about you guys, but the bass on a Sega Genesis gets so annoying. After a while, and that super high tinny, it hurts. It hurts. It's too much. There's a lot of good tracks.
I'll even go a step farther and say that, I mean, I'm not a sound guy, first of all, so don't take what I say too seriously, but even the Super Nintendo sound, it has this limited weird range.
Yeah.
And so, all the waves are, right in between. It doesn't have, these super crazy notes here and there. So all the games kind of sound the same to me. You can have a creative arrangement. You can compose a cool little ditty here and there. But I've never, been blown away by 16-bit stuff.
Yeah. It's, I mean, there's obviously, I mean, you can kind of tie that into, the arcade. At the real early 90s had kind of a 16-bit sound to them, which sounded really good. But at the end all be all, it's definitely the NES. One I can say that I wish we had more of, just because maybe I've been discovering it more lately in the past 6 months or so, and just the wide range that it's capable of, and that so many more people can use, it's definitely the Game Boy. The Game Boy sound chip, that was, especially when you look at just the tiny little piece of hardware that was pumping out those tunes, there's a lot of amazing stuff you can do with that. I kind of wish we would have did more Game Boy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, because chiptune artists themselves love the Game Boy, and I take full responsibility for not making sure more of that kind of stuff got featured.
Yeah, because we didn't have enough Heavy Troopers Ready to Roll tracks. My gosh, it's like they're going out of style. And don't get me wrong, I love that CD. Like, there's a lot of great tracks on that CD. But, dear God, Bailey.
Was it like so 3.5 months straight? Super Mario RPG remixes! Oh, so good. Does Jason have any thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I do. No, I do.
Wants everything on mute. Just yeah, mute
let's just
everything.
Mute everything. No, I'm going to say, just in terms of chiptune stuff, I like what people have done with the old Atari consoles.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, there's actually, I don't know if they're in the States big at all. There's a Canadian band called Crystal Castles.
Sweet.
Named after the game.
The arcade game.
And they've actually installed a Atari 5200 chip into their like custom synthesizer. And that's how they make music.
That's nice. Cool.
And they did a good job. So it's a pretty versatile little machine.
All right.
There you go.
Way to contribute, Jason. Mm.
Atari.
Way to be there, Jason, for the show that we're doing.
Yeah, Atari. That's
congratulations.
The only
Atari should get some love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Japanese box art. How about
yes,
that?
It's better. It's always better.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Is not it? Always.
Yes.
Not always.
No, it is.
No. Nope, not always.
So I'm going to say something that I would never say. In public that people can hear like that, so it's just the two of us. Right? It's just
the two of
it's
us,
the group of us.
If you're about to be racist,
well, I meant like the you two guys and then me, so three of us. So Mega Man, the box art for Mega Man, for the NES, the American version is something less to be desired. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mega Man doesn't carry a gun, but yet he's got a gun, and he looks like he's got Asperger's syndrome, which is, you know, it's a thing. It's a thing. It's a real thing. Don't deny that it's not a real thing.
Well, so is God. Being black, but you don't make fun of it. Weirdo.
Perverts. But I will say the box art for the Japanese Rockman series on the Famicom is absolutely dreadful. It okay. is.
I have to go look this up.
It now. Is Saturday morning, 3-year-old cartoon. Like, that is not my Mega Man. I'm sorry.
It's not even like
that is not the
Saturday morning cartoon. You mean like
no
children's programming for small?
Yeah,
toddlers.
Like this is PBS. Wow. Like this is not the Mega Man that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Into battle against a boss master.
That is.
I mean, they're called. Wow. They're called robot masters. They are masters of the robot. That Mega Man, not going into that fight.
Yeah, that's
all
a,
I'm going to say.
Cartoony. Definitively. Wow.
Skip it. I will defend the American box art until the day I die.
I think you really do just have to judge it by a case-by-case basis. Because I thought of...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, definitely. There's a lot of American art that just sucks.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, Mega Man's a good example, even though maybe the Japanese version doesn't go head-to-head very well. But there's enough, like, just deception in the games that, you know, you as a kid, you buy it because you think it looks sweet. And, you know, you get it, and it's like, oh, this is what I got. The Guardian Legend, like the box art in America, we got like this giant cobra on the horizon, face, eyes, lightning. It has nothing to do with the game, and I don't know what they got in Japan until I just checked now. In Japan, they got like this really like creepy, cool, like H.R. Geiger style thing going on with a lady and a gun, and she has like Medusa hair, but it's like electric mechanical, so that's sweet. At least there's like a female on the cover, which is important for the game. The is European it? version, cause yeah, it's a female protagonist, so you don't know that in this.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. European version looks cool. Even the Europe. I mean, you don't mean to, we. Question isn't even how about Europe. It's just America or Japan. The two examples I thought of. I thought of one example where it's up to personal taste, and that's Werewolf the Last Warrior for NES. Japanese box art, very cool. The werewolf is like in this like epic pose with his claw arms, just roaring, and it's sweet. American box art I like, but I'm sure others would find completely cheesetacular. You know, I think the game is, so I dig it. But the box art makes it look like the Wolverine character, or werewolf, whatever, werewolf character is tearing out of the box. I think that's pretty slick. I like that.
Which is amazing. Yeah.
The other example I thought of was, and this is more, I think the American box art is just better, more iconic, more classic, Super Mario Brothers 3. Bright yellow, Raccoon Mario. Oh, it's poster worthy. If you look at the Japanese box art for Super Mario Bros. 3, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that when a graphic designer says that something looks busy, like quote-unquote, it's a little busy, Japanese Super Mario Bros. 3 box art is the kind of thing they're talking about. It's very, they're just trying to cram like every character in the game on there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I think Super Mario Brothers 2, Famicom, had the same kind of idea. No? It was, oh well. Well, the American version. The Super Mario Brothers USA, which was the Super Mario Brothers 2 that we got into America. I hate all of this. This is so stupid. But it did the same thing. Like, it had, like, they basically recreated the Doki Doki Panic box art, but with Mario characters.
Yep.
But even that looks super busy, whereas in for the NES, I believe it was just, wasn't it black? Yeah, it was just him jumping through holding a radish. So.
Yep.
Because radishes are super important in that game, super in case you didn't
important.
Know.
It's the most important thing. So, yeah, that's box art right there. I know we didn't come to a consensus, but I really think it's just game by game. I don't think any country has. And
I'm going with American are better. I mean, sorry, Japanese are better.
Oh, and I mean, I was just about to say, I think that's a great example. It's personal taste. Some people might like prefer the Japanese style. I like it sometimes. I think Japanese, like, some of the box art conveys a better sense of gravity and importance, whereas in America they kind of silly it up a little bit back then. That kind of sucks.
But. I think the Japanese are, the Japanese box art is definitely more on point with what the game is on the surface. Whereas in the American box art, I mean, I could be wrong with this, but like if you go back to the time it was released, it probably mirrors whatever is popular at the time. So like if Predator came out, you know, a few months or 6 months before, like I'm sure the box art of the video games had like a big hulking Schwarzenegger style guy on the cover. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Iron Sword. We got Fabio.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice.
That's a complete classic. I'm looking at Final Fantasy right now. Japanese box art has like this hand-drawn art. Some people might think it's really cool. I think it looks kind of, meh. Some people are like, what? Are you serious? I'm sentimental.
It's box art.
Yeah, it's box. Next question. Jeez, we can't spend half.
I will say this. I think there is a market for people who take the box art of the video game and make that into the actual game. Like if you look at the box art for Pitfall for the 2600, I want to play that game. That is the game I want to play. That is not the game I got because it's the Atari 2600, but I think If you were a good enough programmer, which I am not, if you would take the box art of Pitfall and actually make that the game, I think that is an entire genre subculture of video games that could be made Dude, and you should be do very that. Successful.
You should do that with the NES release titles too. The black box games, you should do that.
No, those games already exist. They're the black box games. They're okay. just pixel art.
Right, but so does Pitfall.
No, it's not. Pull up the pull up the box art for Pitfall. That is not pixel art.
Yeah, the rainbow swing. Yeah,
no, it's not. Right. It's not okay. pixel. No. Okay. Stop it.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop. You are upsetting Jason.
I know.
I'm so sad.
Can't have that happen. He might shank us in our sleep. Email number two.
Number two.
God forbid.
You're welcome. Hey, guys. I'm sad that the site is closing, but it's been awesome listening to you guys week after week for the last few years. Good luck in all your future endeavors. For questions this week, I have two of them. One site-related and one retro gaming-related. First, just like picking your favorite child, what was your favorite post/series on the site? If you pick mine, I will be your best friend forever. Second, since the site is ending, what is your favorite retro game ending? Thanks for everything, Chris Owens. He's the Nintendo Power archivist we have on the site.
Chris Owens is my favorite entry of One More Castle.
I was actually going to say that because I think it's neat to go damn back it. And see these.
Well, I beat you, Jason.
It's funny. Damn. I think, Chris, thanks for writing in. Thanks, Nick, too, and everybody, really. But yours is one of the very few, and I don't mean this in a mean way. I think I hope people understand what I mean by this. Yours is one of the few that I would openly just declare to the world, I'm proud that One More Castle has this on the site, this resource, because we're archiving Nintendo Power issues. That's sure. really cool. Yeah, it's awesome. An out-of-print magazine. This issue is over 20 years old, and it's on our site. Really cool. That being said, I can't say it's my favorite. I mean, it's stuff that's been done. I'm a creative guy. I like people who bring new insights and stuff, you know?
I mean, I have over 100 Nintendo Power issues, so, I mean, it's no big deal.
I think I have like 3. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I have at least right none.
At least none.
It's a good magazine.
At least none, yeah.
I really like, for our retro reviews, I've always liked Adam's style. Lots of images, and all the text either describes the game or it's a joke. That's great. That's all I need. 400 words, yeah. 3 dozen pictures. Funny. That's cool.
Just be done with it.
I have a soft spot for Atari poop, though.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
That might be my favorite. Like, I've Man. Thought, like, we've had a lot. Like, we've actually had, like, over 30 different series come and go. Like, it's kind of scary if you actually look.
Yeah.
But Atari poop, I mean, I miss that stuff. Because that was... It was satire. Not everybody got it. And that's, I understand. Like, it's not accessible. Like, it's really weird. Yeah. But no other site had anything like that. And we rustled some feathers with that series that I didn't even know were there for the rustling. I guess people usually say ruffled there. But, yeah. I think I'm going to go with Atari poop. It's right in my heart.
So I will also have to plus one the Atari poop. I will say that the one series that has made me laugh out loud is definitely GMZ.
Yeah.
Like that series, like I have read it and like as I'm reading it, I'm like I do that ha ha laugh out loud kind of thing. And then I have to go back and read what I just read to make sure I was supposed to laugh at it because I don't know like exactly what's going on the entire time. Like, like every time I turn around, like they're the entire group is a turmoil, like within each other. Like people are leaving and they're coming on, then they're not coming on, then they're leaving, and it's like I have no idea at any point of what's going on with that whole series. And I like that series. That's a good series.
Good call.
Yeah. I'm gonna say I miss. Before I move on to the second half discussion, I miss what the F is on this disc.
Oh, yeah, from Paul.
Yeah, oh, that was man. A good one.
It's what the F were on those discs.
That's just a brilliant idea.
They were always these weird little things.
So I got this disc lying around. I'm going to pop it in and see what's on it. Sweet.
Yeah, what's the second half of this question?
I have one more thing to say first. Of the current stuff on the site, I think I like My Two Gills. Just because it's brilliant and hilarious. Very funny.
Yeah.
I can read the whole article and be like, did I get the joke? So that's good.
No, you didn't.
Dang it. But the second one was, what is our favorite retro game ending?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez.
You know what? Definitely NHL 94.
Yeah?
What?
No. No.
That's the third time I've heard that game come up today.
Really? Weird.
It's a good game. It's a fun game.
Apparently.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'll say this, because I mean that it, at least for me, it's always about the journey. It's never about the ending. But the funniest like twist on an ending that I've seen was definitely The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, where they figured out how to glitch the game to get them to the very last dungeon of Ganon's castle. Mm-hmm. Within like 5 minutes of the game, and then the game ends, and then they show all these people that you quote unquote helped throughout the time. And one of the comments on the video that I was watching was like, who are these people? Why are they so happy that I did this thing? I have no idea who these people are. I was like, that is genius. That is a great ending.
I am partial to Majora's Mask. First of all, because I think it's an awesome game, one of my all-time favorites.
It's terrible.
No, it's not terrible at all. But it's really bad. The ending, there's not multiple endings, but the ending is lengthened for the masks you unlock. Because a lot of them involve like filling out the bomber's notebook, helping people, being a part of people's life, that journey, that time. And so unlocking them all lets you see each of their little clips in the ending and how they're affected by it. I think that's really awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Brilliant and wonderful. Others.
Honestly, don't know. I honestly don't
Jason
know.
Jason doesn't beat games anymore.
Yeah, screw games.
Just stick to your guns.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what my favorite retro ending is.
Stick to your guns.
All right, here we go. Listener email number 3, the third one we got. I considered saving this for last because it's a pretty epic email, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's from Pierre.
No.
We're going to stop after each question and address it briefly because he has like 20 different questions.
Oh,
here we go. Here we go. What are your dates of birth and social security numbers?
October 31st, 19.
It's January 25th.
4A, 9er.
4A, 9er.
24, B, Omega, 9er.
All right. Here it is. Okay, it's January 25th, 1988, and it's 416.
He had to look up his own.
224-839.
That's not enough.
My birth date is January 28th, 1986. If you're old enough to remember when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded, it's right around when I was born. It was either an hour after or before. I always screwed up. I think I was born an hour before. I was born, then it blew up. I think that's how it went down.
And so those astronauts sacrificed their life for you to be born.
For me to exist.
Wow.
I had, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is my social security number. I wrote it in code. So good luck to those looking to steal my identity. There was your brief flash of... Okay, next question.
Next question.
Have you ever killed a man? Be honest, Jason.
Almost, actually, yes.
Ooh, yikes. Is this going to get weirdly personal, like you hit someone with your car or something?
No, well, do you want the quick story?
Give me the,
I don't think I want to hear it.
Don't give me the 30-second, give me, like, the 48-second version.
All right, he...
All the juicy parts.
The juicy parts, okay, he punched me in the balls. I told him not to do it again, and then he did it again. And then I tackled him and kicked him in the head a lot.
Oh, wow.
And then he went to the hospital.
Yes!
And that was the start of grade 9.
And now you can't have children.
Thank God for that.
There you go. Hunter?
Yeah.
Killed anybody?
No. I got jumped. Me and a buddy of mine got jumped one time by a bunch of skinheads.
Huh.
If you know the term, skinheads are basically just like super Nazi, neo, whatever. We were walking the river near a movie theater. We're super late at night. We got jumped. The guy had a knife. One of the guys had a knife. Fight broke out. I had my leg on somebody's windpipe at one point, just Sweet. Waiting for that ounce of pressure to just crush it. And then the police siren went off and they took off.
Oh.
We just kind of hung out and filled out a police report and went along our merry way.
Oh, dang. I haven't killed anybody. I've wanted to. I haven't done it.
Hmm.
I've never even been in a real fight.
Yeah, Jason's still alive. So
yeah. Like, I've tried to get in a real fight, but nobody wants to fight me. I don't know if it's because I'm tall or what. Okay, sweet. That would be great. Like, I've had people, like, threaten me. Like,
I will come up to watch.
I'm going
to
do this and this and this. And I'll, like, be up in their face, like, okay, let's go. And they're like, whoa, I'm good. They'll shake, like, twice. I've people, like, shake my hand instead. They're like, oh, no, bro, we're good. Like, I used to play a lot of street ball growing up. Like, I just, like, just walk around the neighborhoods looking for some basketball to play. So you play basketball with some random strangers, and they get all, you know, feeling some kind of way about you beating up on them in the game. And, yeah. Tempers flare, whatever. All these 19-year-old people who couldn't hack community college, so they got a lot of pent-up aggression plus stupidity. It's a great formula.
Well, I couldn't hack community college.
Oh, I'm them sorry, fighting that words.
Was, that was a.
Now we got to fight.
Coming up, man. I'm coming up.
I'm coming down to watch.
I ran out of money. That was about it. All right, keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
What's the strangest place you've ever inserted a video game?
Into a Super Nintendo. Go.
Booyah!
That
was a pretty strange machine.
Probably Super Nintendo.
I've actually inserted a cartridge into a friend's Super Nintendo.
Oh,
dirty.
So there you go.
You
filthy, filthy.
It's dirty.
If you had to be brutally murdered in the most painful way imaginable by a video game character, what cartoon character's face would you want adorned on the place your last meal was served on? I'm going with Donald Duck.
So wait, if I'm being murdered?
You're being murdered by a video game character. It's going to be super painful. There's a restaurant nearby.
Right.
What cartoon character's face do you want to be on that restaurant? It's your last meal. You just had it there. So.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Hunter, you have 4 seconds.
The gooey monster from hell from Shaq Fu.
Wow, interesting choice. I forgot to mention on Twitter, I'm going to swear tonight. I don't like really ever swear, so here's a chance to hear me swear, because got to read Pierre's email. Next part is a little game of Fuck, Marry, Kill. Ooh. Tom Hall, Andrew Carrero, Jonathan Alley.
I'm going to marry Tom, because I think we have a lot in common.
Sweet.
But I think I'm going to cheat on him with Jonathan. I'm not going to lie. Jonathan's a good-looking dude. Which, gosh, I guess that means I have to kill Andrew.
You're killing Andrew.
Damn.
All right.
I was going to say, I was going to marry Andrew.
Nice.
Because I probably know him the best. I'd fuck Tom. Because
who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? Really?
He's a teddy bear.
Oh, that beard.
And then, sorry, Jonathan. I'm going to kill you.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I'm going to kill Andrew because it just seems poetic. I can't resist a bit of poeticism.
That's two kills for Andrew.
I'm going to marry Tom.
Yeah, right?
Every night we're going to make
the
sweet,
agree.
Passionate co-op Let's Play live streams together.
Yeah.
And I guess that means I'm screwing Jonathan on the side just for fun.
Yeah.
That seems like...
Because who wouldn't, right?
Right, yeah.
He's a good-looking guy.
I think I just lined up with Hunter.
He's a good-looking
exactly.
dude.
That's interesting. Okay. Cool.
He's prettier than I am.
If you could go back in time and change any one thing in a video game, what would it be?
Mario can't jump.
At first level, you're just stuck. First pipe, you're done.
I just want to watch the world burn.
Nintendo's grand console launch. Millions of people buy the console. Popping Super Mario Bros. And Duck Hunt. What the hell? I can't get past.
There you go. Mario can't jump.
Never become a thing in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd.
Good.
Ooh. 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 I don't know. I'd replace. Remember I brought that Barney Doom mod once?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be the official yes. release of the game.
Nice.
I don't know how this would work, how I would make it happen, but I would make Chrono Trigger $12 when it came out. Like, that's the price. Because I remember when it came out and it was $70, which is like $10 or $20 more than all the other Super Nintendo games at Toys R Us, so I ended up picking right. something else. And I wish I had Chrono Trigger, but I don't. But if it was $12, I would have picked it up. So that's mine.
There you go.
That's fine.
It's not bad.
Did you ever poop or pee yourself while playing video games? Not even just a little? Be honest, Jason.
Now, does it count if I'm playing on the toilet?
Yes. Yes, God. That counts.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I've taken a shit and played a game.
Jesus. What does that even mean?
I've sat on the throne and pulled out either a phone or some handheld device and played a game for an extended period of time.
I'm glad that's what you pulled out.
Yeah.
I remember peeing just a tad.
No, that was for me.
When the, no, I'm talking about for, oh, sorry. All
right. Oh, it was for all of us, but I have.
Nah, you can do it.
No, it was just for Jason.
What made you pee a tad, Hunter? I'm just curious. What made you pee a tad?
No, it's fine.
Scary game?
The dogs bursting out of the windows from Resident Evil.
I was literally going to say that. I could have seemed like a psychic. I didn't go for it. Lesson learned. Round two. Fuck, marry, kill. Console games, PC games, mobile games.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to have to marry PC games for sure, just because there's more to do. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, there's more available. I mean, 90% of console games are on the PC anyway, and they're better. So, like, what's it matter? But I'm definitely... Wait, was one of them handhelds?
Yeah.
Mobile. So interpret that as...
Oh, no. If it was going to be handhelds, I'd be... No, all right. So I'm going to be fucking consoles on the side. I'm going to kill mobile. Because I really want to kill mobile, because mobile is just terrible.
I'm going to marry PC. I'm going to kill consoles.
Also have sex with PC?
Yeah. Can I have sex and marry PC? No. I'll marry PC. I'll kill consoles. And,
wait,
you know,
a couple of years, Jason. Just a couple years.
I'm gonna fuck the mobile games because it'd be a little dirty.
Because they've been around. They got around.
Get around.
For sure.
I get to be the contrarian on this one because I'm gonna marry console games. I feel like mobile games would be kind of fun just to have a one night stand with. It's like, you're interesting. Let's hang out. One thing leads to another. Mobile games. I guess I'm killing PC games. Screw you guys. Who was your favorite over 30 French Canadian contributor to 1MC? I guess I gotta go with Pierre.
Yeah, I guess Pierre.
Dang it. Sucks.
I was gonna say Jonathan, but whatever.
I don't think he's over 30, though. I think Pierre did that on purpose. Because I would have said Jonathan, too. Much better writer. What was the worst game you've brought to a showdown? Be honest, Jason.
The worst game? Oh, Jesus. Probably...
All of them.
No, it's probably that one where you're torturing the kid in his apartment and you're like this weird god. That weird
really
Japanese
one. Ugh.
Yeah, the torture simulator.
I feel kind of cheap because mine was pretty recent, but Hydlied. It's so bad. It's just such a bad game.
Not Purple Turtles?
Purple Turtles? It's kind of fun. It's kind of whimsical. Yeah. Kind of, simplistic fun.
Oh, so I actually have a story about Purple Turtles now that you bring it up.
Seriously?
Sly Dog Games. Yeah. The guys, they actually do, like, legit NES cartridges and, like, release them. One of the developers contacted me. Apparently, he was actually working on a conversion of Purple Turtles for the NES. Oh. And he had heard it, our podcast, and was planning on releasing it and, like, just to, like, let us know that it was out for us to play on the NES, but he never finished it.
Oh, that was like, awesome.
I was like, man, you should finish that. I would definitely pay for that. I with real money, not Canadian dollars, like real money, and I would play that. Oh, gosh. What game have I brought? That was just terrible. I mean, all my games are amazing. So,
You brought that one fighting game.
Which one? He brought so many.
That everyone else in the world pretty much agrees is awful. You brought one of those. Was it the robot one or the other one?
Marvel vs. Capcom?
Did you bring the bad robot?
What about
one?
Cyborg Justice with...
Oh, maybe, yeah.
With tank legs? That's where tank legs came from. That can't be bad.
Yeah, but that wasn't a fighting. Yeah,
was that the weird hologram one?
You're talking about Sega cabinet. Nuts. What's it called? Hollow something.
Hollow Wars. Hollow.
Your answer is hollow.
Yeah, that game's really bad.
Yeah.
What was the best game someone else brought to the showdown?
I don't know what that means.
I'm gonna say, Purple Turtles.
Lawnmower races.
Oh God, lawnmower mates. Oh, that's
come on, man. Advanced lawnmower.
I will say the one that took me by surprise was definitely Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Mm. I think Jason, you brought that game.
Yeah.
One time,
yeah,
that was a really good brought. So. Yeah. Holiseum. That's the name of the game. Holiseum.
Oh, even the name.
So good.
That's something Eric Bailey
so
would
good.
Say. I mean, we've brought so many of the classics. Just pick one of those top tier AAA games. We've brought them. I mean, it's happened. So, you know.
And if it's not, if it hasn't happened, it's going to happen next week. Yeah. So.
I don't know. I'm not bringing one of them. So. I'm bringing my personal favorite.
You're crazy. Well, so am I. Yeah. It just happens to be a top tier game.
Damn. Nice. Well, I'm glad you have such good taste. And the final round. Is he changing the order of the words? I think he is. This is Mary Fuck Kill.
Ooh.
Jason Lamb.
Ooh.
Eric Hunter. Eric Bailey. If anyone wants to leave live stream comments about this one, I'd like to hear your opinion. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Jason, I'm going to marry you.
Ooh, thanks. Thanks, babe.
I just think at the end of the day, like, I think we have, like, that, like, we're not 100% compatible,
mm-hmm.
like Bailey and I am, which is why I'm going to be fucking Bailey on the side.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. I think we have enough dynamic to make a relationship work.
Yeah.
With, you know, interesting, because, like, if me and Bailey were together, it'd be like, hey, I love this game. He'd be like, yeah, me too.
Let's play it.
Yeah.
That would be it. I feel like, oh man, this Double Dragon 2. You want to play it? Yeah, let's play it.
Yeah. I'd add a bit of spice into that relationship, is what you're saying.
You still die at the same port. Yeah, Bailey, I know.
Because that's what Canada is known for. It's spices.
But if that's the case, then I guess that means I'd kill myself?
Well, no. See, I'm going with evil clone. Like, I'm killing my evil clone.
If that's the case, I'm gonna marry and have sex with my evil clone. That's just
yes.
Yes.
I'm killing my evil clone. Yes. I'm marrying Hunter. I know we're too compatible, but that's how it's gonna be. And we're gonna make sweet, passionate co-op Let's Play live streams every night. Ooh. Jason, I'm doing on the side because he is the most exotic.
Because who isn't?
Thing I'll ever get a piece of. So he's my exotic Canadian fling.
Oh,
good.
That's what you want to me, Jason.
Nice.
No.
I'm gonna
cold.
Ooh. I'm gonna marry Hunter.
Yes.
I'm
a keeper.
Yep. I'm unfortunately gonna have to kill Bailey.
And I'm
gonna have to fuck myself.
You're finally going to do what we've been telling you to all along. That's good. That's good.
That's funny.
And the email ends, "Anyway, I want to thank you three for what has been a great and entertaining podcast. I mean it, and I don't usually even like podcasts." That's from Pierre. Gagua.
What?
So the funny thing is, we're only like a fourth of the way through our emails, but I think we're actually over halfway through the questions. So I think we're actually over the hump.
All right, cool.
So did you want to do a music break? Or?
That's up to you guys. Okay, let's break. Back! That was Docs by Mecha Fatnik. A cool little chiptune off the Attack of the Terrible Lizard Kitty album. It actually is a really good album. It's not even free. Like, you have to pay $2 to get it because it's so good. So, still recommend getting it if you like chiptunes. Alright, next email. Hey guys, it's Justin again. To help your memory, Clock Tower guy. Mm. And I got another horror game question for you. What horror video game do you honestly believe you would and wouldn't survive in? My second question is, which Final Fantasy game world would you love to live in as just one of those NPCs that the main character may or may not enter your house and open a chest with your valuables in? So long, farewell, goodbye, you will be missed. And in words only the great hero Link would say.
Nice.
Because Link doesn't talk, though.
Yes. Right. So what do you guys think? Survival horror games.
Like, which one would I die in?
A game world you think you might be able to live in? One, you're pretty sure you're screwed. Right? Yeah.
None of them. They're all terrible. Yeah,
they're all pretty bad. I was trying to think of one I'm pretty confident in. I don't think, like, they're all pretty apocalyptic. No survival horror game only goes, like, halfway, you know? Except Clock Tower. I think I could run away from a hunchback with a pair of hedge clippers. Yeah.
No. I might be able to survive, like, Alien. Like an Alien game.
Really?
Only if there were other people on the ship with me, and I literally just ran away and left them to die. In fact, that would be my strategy in most games, just sacrificing those around me.
We're going to hunt down the alien and kill him. Okay, cool plan, guys. I'm going to take the escape pod out of here. Yeah. See ya. Bye-bye.
See ya. But with my luck, the alien would be in the pod.
Of course. So. I'm going for Clock Tower for one I would live in. I'm going for Resident Evil 2 for probably going to die in.
Yeah.
Like Raccoon City is not...
No, not the best place. No.
I don't know. Like, I feel like if I was going to have, like, a chance to survive, it could possibly be Fatal Frame.
Huh.
Maybe. But, I mean, that's the whole point of the horror genre, is that you have that instance that, like, there's no way I'm going to make this. Like, I don't know how many times I've booted up Silent Hill for the PlayStation and played it for, like, 45 minutes. And I was like, nope, can't do it. Like, it's just, I just can't. Why? The fog. There's just so much fog. So much fog. No, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Final Fantasy World that you'd love to live in as an NPC.
I'm going to say 7.
I'm also going to say 7.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with a whole lot of them.
Yeah, neither am I. But it's got that nice mix of kind of like the magic and the technology.
Yeah.
2.
You can live in a casino if you want.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Can have like a robot.
Final Fantasy 2.
All right.
And now... The American Final Fantasy 2?
Yes, the only version worth talking about. Yes, Final Fantasy 2, the American version.
All right.
Cool.
Hello, podcast. Oh, that was from Justin Graffius, by the way. Any special reason for that pick, Hunter, Final Fantasy 2?
It's what you guys just said. It's the only one I've really played.
So, all right.
Hello, Podcastle. Yeah. Considering that one more castle is winding down, I would be very interested to hear about some of your favorite moments that occurred due to being part of the One More Castle community. For me, the best moment was meeting Jason Lamb for coffee in Hamilton at a self-serve Tim Hortons, because yes. Obviously that exists in Canada. Best wishes and flying fishes, Paul Sharp. P.S. Bailey, give .. a test drive. It's kind of fun. Screw you, Paul Sharp. P.P.S. Hunter, you will forever be the best co-community mulager west of the Donut Plains.
So I was super self-conscious about even putting that in the episode. And I think that just that one little bit has given like people so much joy in like contacting me like, oh my God, community mulager. Like, all right, so everybody enjoyed it. That's fine. As long as everybody had fun. I'm still crying myself to sleep, so it's fine.
It's a good thing to learn in life. When you screw up, just take joy from other people's laughter at it.
Just take put it within the first 3 seconds of the episode.
That too.
Honestly, for me, it was definitely doing the podcast live. Like, yeah. I think that that was pretty intense for me. Like, just having all of you guys there at once and, like, sitting there like, oh, I actually have to like work like right now, not later when it's all done, like right now I have to make sure that audio levels are correct and people are, you know, speaking into the microphone, and you know, Jason getting like notes from the Tumblr or whatever it was, the Batman Tumblr, and making sure we're saying the web address like that. That was really cool because we had people come in like, you know, like the wife was there. And I think Bailey, your wife, showed up and listened in. And like we had Tom on as like a special guest or whatever you want to call it. And then like we got to meet like the chick who was like super into the Power Rangers, and she was dressed up as the Pink Ranger. And I remember like us going over like our Twitter handles and we're like, hey, you should follow us. And she was like, well, I only got his because his was the easiest. It's just Eric Hunter. And I was like, yes, I win. Screw you guys. We still chat actually, her and I,
nice.
Like on Twitter every once in a while. Yeah. She's cool. Nice. Like she's really into the Power Rangers. Like that's her thing. So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that was kind of my reigning moment. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna say going down to meet you guys. That was pretty neat.
That was Indie PopCon.
Yep.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Sweet.
And like the Valerie knows Andrew.
Yeah, Mallory.
I had no idea Andrew was going to be there, and then he was.
Yeah, that was, that was our surprise.
That was the thing.
Have we even told anybody, Jason, how much trouble I had finding you at the airport?
No, that was a bit of trouble.
That was hilarious.
I don't think
at the time, my wife was a little irritated. I was like, well, no, it's just the airport there. There's like two levels, and he was upstairs, but there's still like an outside upstairs, and I was outside downstairs. And like, we were at the same number or location name.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I'm like walking all over like, are you here? Are you, here's where I am. We're like, we're describing locations to each other.
Yeah.
Like, even though neither of us is seeing what the other is seeing, it's not helpful to tell you where I am if you're not there. You know, I don't know. It was funny. We eventually figured it out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm in front of a sign. What does the sign say? Welcome to Africa. I think I took the wrong plane.
This is going to take way longer than we thought. Mine's kind of shallow. Just kind of silly.
No. What?
That's my favorite. Of all the moments, you know, I could have picked like playing Mega Bomberman with you guys and just like sitting around like that's 10 of cool. us just playing video games together. That was awesome. But specifically at Indie PopCon, setting up the games to play. And we set up Street Fighter 2. And so me and Hunter are playing, you know. And Hunter, do you remember the guy that walked up?
Yes, this guy.
This guy walks up. And I hope I haven't told this story on the podcast before, but this might be my all-time favorite. It was worth having the website just for this moment. This guy walks up with, like, his buddy. This guy's just, like, one of those, like, serious D-bag looking guys. His lips are pursed. Just got his arms crossed, like, watching us play. And we're just, like, laughing, goofing off. He's like, yeah, I used to play this game a lot. Yeah, I used to play some tournaments and stuff. You know, I won the East Coast tournament back in, you know, 98. Oh, cool. You want to play? He's like, nah, I don't know. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. So we keep playing. Like, I'm not going to bait into his ego and, like, act like I'm impressed or whatever. So me and Hunter are playing. I'm like, you sure? Well, I'll play. Like, have the controller. He's like, oh, fine. He's playing the whole reluctant hero thing. I think he's somebody, right? He sits down. So I'm about to play this, like, former Street Fighter champ, you know, uh-oh. So, I destroyed him, I guess. There's no, like, longer way to tell the story. I beat beautiful. Him. And he's just like, yeah, this controller, you know, it's a little sticky. It's, oh, you want to switch controllers?
Nah, man, we got to keep going. We got to keep going.
Oh, okay. You keep your controller you're complaining about and not play with mine, because apparently mine's the reason I'm winning. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we played two sets, and I didn't lose a match in either one.
Oh, so I'm going to change my answer.
Muttered something and walked away, and it was awesome. The end. Go ahead, Hunter.
I just remembered when we went to the Midwest Gaming Convention, like that 7-year-old kid who came up to play Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And he had never played the game before, but he had played, like, new Super Mario Brothers on the 3DS and, like, Super Mario Brothers Land and all of that stuff. And just watching him breeze through this game, like, both of us were like, man, Nintendo has never changed this game. Like, this game is still
the exact
same game.
I probably sound like a jerk. So I'm like, have you really not played this game? And he was like, no, I haven't.
Yeah, like, he was like, man, this is, like, where'd you get all these new levels? And we're like, I don't, what do you mean? Like, it's,
yeah, what?
There's no,
well, this is Mario,
like,
well,
I remember this one. It's like, oh, weird.
Yeah.
That was pretty
cool. Yeah, that watching a child play Super Mario Brothers for the first time, that was cool. You're right, that was magical.
And just school you. You're like, wow, you
right,
made
yeah,
it to
like, knows
World
what he's
8
doing.
Without dying.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
Well,
he gets the formula clearly. I have one. So we did news occasionally. Like, we didn't do the best at it. That's one of my regrets. Not like deep, heavy, like painful regret, but like we didn't do a whole lot of news. We did some. We didn't have many exclusive tips, or like we didn't break headlines. We did it a few times. One of the times we did it is because I've reviewed so many NES games, some of them are more obscure and some people haven't covered them as much. So if you Google for an NES game review or NES game coverage, sometimes my site is one of the top results. It's a neat phenomenon. So I was contacted by the current owner of Wisdom Tree Games. Like, they still exist selling Christian-themed PC games online. And I got to be the guy who broke the exclusive story that they were re-releasing Supernova's Ark 3D. Like, new carts, new boxes, new instruction manual. If you go on the site, that story actually is there. So that was one of the few times, like, Kotaku linked to us. And it was like, the source is One More Castle. I was like, yes, we're a real website.
Yeah.
That was sweet. Because she's like, yeah, I heard, you know, I saw you review this. And I was like, oh, man. So I just wanted to let you know. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to make this a big deal. Because other people would ignore you. I'm like, yeah, Wisdom Tree is re-releasing one of their games. Huge headline, duh.
It's on Steam now, so...
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It's on my wish list.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. Mm. We could... I could list a whole lot of moments, but those are the best, so I'll have to leave it at that. So we're not here all night. So thanks, Paul Sharp. Hey, 1MC crew, I have a question. With you guys deciding to take the... Let's break up the band route. I was wondering how long we will have to wait until the inevitable reunion album and tour, or perhaps in your case, reunion podcast and website relaunch? Question mark. Plenty of bands have come roaring back with massive success once everyone gets bored enough, right? Thanks for all the good times, fellas. Zach Smith. Thanks for writing in, Zach. He's an alumni. Actually, just
I give Bailey 6 months. I give him 6 months, and he's gonna be like, "So you guys want to do like a community like gaming thing?"
Yeah.
Or, well, like, hey, I'm gonna head down to Valerie's and you know, Indianapolis. You want to come hang out? Like, dude, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Who are you? I deleted all my contacts that had your name on them.
Oh. Wow, your face doesn't even look familiar. 6 months. I say 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah,
6 months
like is
a good guess for Bailey.
6 months. Okay. 6 months. I'll give myself 6 months.
Jason's going to be the multimillionaire PC-loving, console-hating guy. That he'd be like, oh, I don't know. I'm really busy. I got like a movie to do. And
yeah.
I live in the great frozen north.
Yeah, I gotta go hang out with Bill Gates.
Famous Canadian people.
I can't just hop on a polar bear and ride down there. Yeah. It's not that easy for us Canadians to hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
I understand, Jason.
Yeah, I'm giving myself a year. A whole freaking year.
A whole year, okay.
Because I'll be done school by then.
Ah. So I'll be sitting around on top. Until I get a job.
So we're all waiting for Jason to be done with his college, then. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I will say, I know you were asking kind of tongue-in-cheek, like jokey-jokey, but I wouldn't count on the website relaunch. I was explaining to someone else this week, like, why'd you guys end the site? Like, I get time commitment, but is that it? And the answer is no. Like, every little reason that could pop up in the back of your mind closing the site is probably true. You know, there's a couple 500-pound gorillas in the room.
Jeez, Jason, you gained weight.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah. So Jason's the reason why we came
bulking up for the wedding.
Yeah.
I would say though that I'd be open to a reunion podcast. I just can't do it every week. I can't do it.
That's okay.
So. Yeah, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
We'll have a special reunion episode. Cool.
I'm busy that day. Just so.
All right, 3 years. Thanks, Zach. Let's see here. Say it ain't so. One More Castle is going bye-bye? That sucks. As bad as Bailey's puns.
Oh.
I'm going to miss you guys so much. I remember hearing you guys on the A Band of Gamers podcast from Midwest Gaming Classic. I've listened to every single podcast and wrote a few emails over the years. I have one question for you guys, but I just want to say you are the best, and it was a pleasure to listen to you every week. You brought much laughter to me, and I'm truly grateful for that. Here's my question. Which one of you is a bad enough dude to rescue the president while wearing rocket pants without pulling a Bailey, pooping out your ammo in the bathroom, and voting for Jason? Thanks for all that you guys do. Sincerely, Eric Hoffer at Fog Rules 84 with a Z. Nice. So it's Fogrulez 84. And the answer is Jason, of course. Everyone knows that.
Right. But quick aside, Gamers Only, they're amazing podcasts. Definitely recommend checking them out.
Gamers Only?
Yeah, is that right? Gamers Only, Older Only? It's Goo. Gamers Only,
he
Older?
Said, he said A Band of Gamers.
Oh, A Band of Gamers. Oh,
is a different
that one's with Joel. That one's a little different. Like, he kind of went sideways with it. Like, it's not just, like, video games anymore. Like, they do a big music section now, too. So, like, I guess if you're in the music...
Well, that's why it's called A Band of Gamers. Yeah, it is music and games. Yeah. So if you're into that, check out A Band of Gamers.
Music and games. And if you're not, then check out Gamers Only Older. Or...
Yeah. Because that one's cool, because they talk about, like, having kids and stuff. So I should start listening to that now.
Yeah. And,
goo it up. I listened to one of them. It was good.
Yeah. Good guys. They're all good guys.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yes, Jason. Jason's the only one.
The answer is Jason.
Really?
Yep.
So.
All right. One dead president.
Hello, Bailey, Hunter, and Jason. Very long-time listener. First-time question writer. I couldn't resist sending a couple questions for the listener email bag episode of one of my favorite podcasts ever. Feel free to answer. Number one, over the years, you've all picked on a few of my favorite games of all time. Final Fantasy series, Link's Awakening, and most notably, the classic Resident Evil in all its Jill Sandwich glory. I know these are not great games, but they're still my favorites. My question for you is, if you had to pick a game that you hold dear but is popular to pick on, what would you pick and how would you defend it? First of all, I just have to say this. Those actually are great games. Like Resident Evil, Link's Awakening, Final Fantasy. Those are like top-notch, top-shelf games. We make fun of them because making fun of a truly great game is a lot more fun and interesting than making fun of a game that everyone knows is crap. Like, you can only make fun of the same angry video game nerd episode games over and over and over.
True.
It's a lot more interesting to try and elevate the obscure and take down the top shelf. Though that's a much more... So please don't take it personally if we're hating on your favorite games. We probably love them too. We just like fighting little faults. Jason has made an art form out of looking at classic games in a mind-blowingly awful way. So that being said, what do you guys think? If you a game you love, but you kind of like hearing it get picked on, what do you think?
Game I love?
Ocarina of Time.
How would you defend it?
I wouldn't. I would just laugh and listen to them.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean, it's a moniker of what it is, you know, the 3D platforming fighting genre game. But I mean, it's because of it being technically, probably not technically. That's a terrible thing to say. Not technically, but being one of the most profound releases in the genre. Probably not the first, but like one of the most notable. It's a lot easier to pick on because it makes a lot of mistakes of what we would consider mistakes now.
It hasn't aged well. It's still a great game.
But at the time, it's like, well, how do we do this? Well, let's do it this way. All right, that makes sense. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, somebody else does it better. And you're like, oh, we probably should have did it that way.
Everybody does it this way now. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes more sense. We should do that one. We should do the next one that way. Oh, we're not going to do the next one that way? Well, then, Twilight Princess. So bad.
Jason, do you have a game you love that other people pick on?
All right, Duke Nukem.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yes.
Would you defend it?
It's definitely a product of its time. Like, I can't...
Context is important.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's not meant to be serious. It's meant to be that over the top.
Boom. Good point.
That's why Duke Nukem Forever didn't take off, because it was a game made for the 90s.
Yep.
That came out in 2015.
Yes.
There you go. Mine is Star Tropics. It's my favorite game, but it is kind of strange. I tried introducing friends to it, and like I watched my friend like hop from block to block. He's like, this is stupid, dude. At the time, I had no idea what to say to him because it did look kind of silly. I would defend it by saying it's a personal taste. I like it. It means a lot to me as a personal, like myself, but that's a lot of heart. It's a good game.
Good puzzles. Good puzzles.
Yeah. But if you were expecting a full-on, high-octane, nothing but action, stick to Contra, because that's an awesome game. Yeah, it's probably one of the most perfect games. Contra and Tetris, two perfect, flawless games. Number two, this is our second question from this emailer. Have you ever had an emotionally intense scene in a game ruined by a friend or family member walking in at the wrong moment? My example is not really a retro game, but when I beat Metal Gear Solid 4, supposed to be the last of the series, my dad and sister decided to join me for the final cutscene. So I ended up explaining to them 10 years of the series' convoluted history in a nutshell, rather than being able to enjoy the ending.
That sucks.
Yeah. She ends by saying, I will be interested to hear your thoughts. Even if you don't have enough time to get to my questions, I wanted to thank you so much for the laughs and fun over the past few years, for teaching me of many games I never heard of, and for sparking a random interest in retro phone books.
Oh, no.
Thank you again. You will all be greatly missed, but thankfully I follow you all on Twitter, Kelly Abernathy. And she's at Kelly Lane 11. That's KellyLane11. Very friendly, Kelly is. So, ever have a family or member or a friend ruin a key emotional moment in a game?
Yeah.
Wow. Hunter says no. Jason says really? Yes. Tell us. Tell us, Slam.
There's a habit of the wife walking in when I'm playing a game, and there's like this really like
with
moment
your pants
where
off, like
yeah, just like no,
when can you like, go away for a minute?
Yeah, you just I gotta pay attention here. Just like, but let's talk about this thing that you don't have interest in right now. I'm like, I've already missed what they're saying. God damn it! All right.
It's just a game, Jason.
It's like watching a movie with people who love talking during movies.
Oh, yes, that's the worst.
I can't do it.
Yeah. No.
I have never had someone walk in on me, but there was one time. The game was NBA Jam Tournament Edition on Sega Genesis. And my friend had NBA Jam, and we played it pretty frequently. I loved it. I wanted like the sequel, the superior, whatever, you know, actual rosters you can choose from. I was so looking forward to playing it. But, and you may think I'm crazy, but I remember this. I'm pretty sure this really happened. It sounds insane, but I think this really happened. I open the box and the instruction manual is describing this process you have to go through to activate the battery save. Like, you have to, like, complete a whole game and then do a thing to get it to save your profile and thus your stats and your future season stuff, whatever. It didn't save, like, a whole lot back then. So I'm playing through it, and my family had to go somewhere. Like, we had to leave. I don't even remember where or what. I'm like, oh, I just need to finish this game! Otherwise, it'll never save, ever! But we had to leave. I'm like, ah! But wait, I can pause it, turn the TV off, come back, finish it before I go to bed. So we go out. I don't remember what we did. It could have just been going out to dinner. I don't know. I don't remember. We go out as a family, do whatever, come back. I forget the game is running, see that my Genesis is on, and tap the power button. And the moment I tapped it, I just, a part of me died. And I turned it back on, and it never saved anything from then on. Again, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm pretty sure it actually happened because it never saved like the stuff it was supposed to, ever.
Wow.
So.
It's brutal. Yeah. Brutal.
Next question. Just got a few more, guys. We're doing good. Good evening, Podcastle folk. I've done a handful of import reviews in my day. I was able to play through Soma Bringer from Monolith Soft, the folks who made Xenoblade Chronicles for Wii, in Japanese, thanks to the DS being region-free, as well as the Japanese-exclusive remake of Final Fantasy Legend 3. And I've enjoyed a handful of Sega 3D classics early, plus other games here and there, thanks to owning a Nintendo 3DS LL from Japan. Have you all ever imported a game or played through something in a language that wasn't native to you? If yes, did you learn anything from the experience? Playing through an RPG in a language you have no comprehension of is honestly more insightful than you'd think. Won't be the last time I say it, but thank you for everything. I can rest easy knowing that someone, even if it was a cool guest host, brought Felix the Cat to the showdown. Play Link's Awakening, hashtag Team Bomb Arrows, Jonathan
yes.
Higgins.
On Twitter, yes.
Radical Defect. Jonathan's great.
Bomb Arrows. Yeah. No.
No.
I mean, like, I purchased a Famicom, and I've bought games for it, and if they're super text-heavy and I can't figure out what's going on, I return them. That is
it. Yeah, I don't know if I just love the English language too much. Like, I really enjoy it, and I like it for all its faults, but I really don't like the feeling of not being able to understand the words on the screen. Like, to an extent where it's borderline OCD, like mental problem. If I see text on the screen I can't read, my brain files it away as there's a thing you don't understand unless you're failing at life until you get it. And the next part of my brain processes, well, if I see another screen of this, that's going to be more information that I could be having that I can't interpret right now. I can't handle it. I can't do it. No, I can't. Mm. I can't. Which is sad because there's some amazing Famicom exclusive games.
Oh yeah,
but unless it's a translation, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with seeing the text and not being able to read it. There's a primal part of me that just explodes at that sensation. I can't.
I mean, I want to. I really do.
Yeah.
And then I turn around and I realize that somebody released a translation pack for the ROM, and I'm like, I'll just play this.
Yep. I've tried a couple times. I loaded up, I think it was Sweet Home, actually. There's a moment I had to make a choice. And I'm like, I literally have no way of deciding. What merits do I have to base my decision on?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're supposed to, like, not care and just, like, pick one and just keep playing, but I want to get into it.
I've played a game all the way through in Japanese.
Was it Enlightening?
No, it was Pokemon.
So, no, it definitely was not Enlightening.
And I didn't import it. I was in grade 5. So this would have been 1998. Pokemon was released in North America that September, but the Japanese had already managed to rip it because it was released 2 years earlier there.
Right.
And they had ROMs available. So someone in my class is like, oh, you can play Pokemon on your computer. And they're like, awesome. No idea what was going on at first. You're just like, I'm just gonna... Oh, this move looks cool. He's shooting
walk
lightning.
Walk through this tall grass.
Yep. I think I played through the entire thing in Japanese.
Nice.
Huh.
It was not enlightening, no.
All right.
No.
So, sorry to disappoint, Higgins. We are the unenlightened.
For sure.
Show. All right, next one. So, last one, eh? After 3 years, I'm sure you guys learned a lot about gaming, but I wanted to make sure you learned about other stuff. Bailey and Hunter, what did you learn about Canada?
Me first? Yeah. I mean, you know, other than like the silly stuff, like the milk bags.
It's not serious. That's real. That is real life. That's my number one answer by far. Like the milk and bags. That's so.
The milk
blows
and bags
my
is a little interesting. I will say
you have to keep a pair of scissors in your house to open the milk bags.
So when here's another indie PopCon reference. But we were walking to what restaurant did we go to? Is it Fridays? Is that where we went that first night? I don't know. So we're walking, and I'm walking next to Andrew, and we're bullshitting and stuff, and Andrew's complaining about the American currency, and he's like, it's just ridiculous, it's so confusing. And I'm like, there's giant numbers on it, like, how is that confusing to you? And he opens up his wallet and he's like, no, look.
Oh, yeah,
and it's like, yeah. And he's like, all of the denominations are different colors. So you know immediately what you're paying, what you're grabbing. He's like, on top of that, it's not made of paper. It's made of plastic. So it lasts longer.
Now, and like, the American, yeah, well, sorry.
Go ahead. Hold on. So like, my mind is blown and he just keeps walking. And I'm like, no, it's nothing but stars right now. And you keep walking? Like, do you have any idea what that means to me? Like, yeah.
Plastic monies.
Technically, milk American bags. Money isn't paper either.
It's cotton.
It's woven
whatever.
Fibers.
No, but it's made from, I mean, you know.
But yes, Canadian money is cooler. The whole government-controlled beer thing, that was also interesting to me. I still don't fully understand it.
Neither do we.
Oh, fair enough. That was, yeah. Milk bags and government beer. Those are my top two things I want to look at.
There you go.
What do you call corn dogs?
Oh, pogos.
Pogos, yeah.
Pogos. I never Come remember on, that, but that's kind of funny, too.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's the same thing as Band-Aids. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Hey, but we don't have pogos. Jason, what did you learn about physical media?
Oh, people are ridiculously attached to...
yes.
Stupid
Space
inserts.
Space-wasting artifacts.
What are those?
Inserts.
What are they called? Instruction guide? The
instruction manual? Instruction booklet?
Yeah, that crap. The thing you never actually read.
Yeah.
I sold a complete inbox Mike Tyson's punch out for three times more than it would have been because it still had the letter from Mike Tyson in it.
Well, there you go.
Like, true. Like, if you have the original Star Tropics letter, you can dip in water. The value is way more than the actual game.
There you go.
So
now, what do you got to say, Jason? Blam.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Like, looking back at all the little stupid free Nintendo Power subscription tear-off mail-in tabs and all the crazy graphics they try to get you to do it with, I wish I had those. Like, all the annual ones they would churn out, like, quarterly. I don't know, but... Yeah, power up with Nintendo Power! There's these two kids wearing, like, bright 80s, 90s colors and shades, and they're on skateboards, and... Yeah! Crazy. Thank you for this great series of podcasts, guys. Jonathan Alley. That's how I try to pronounce it. He said it was close enough. At BigJonathan91 on Twitter. He's the cat, by the way.
No, he's a real person, but it's a cat on his...
He's a cat.
Trust me, I made that mistake.
I don't know if this is too personal, but occasionally I mention Jonathan in real life. I like
Ooh,
him.
Don't do that.
And whenever I do that, like whenever I refer to him as Jonathan... My wife always says, is that the cat?
Jeez.
I'm like, yes, the cat. That's actually the thing that happens in my household. So, okay, home stretch. We just got two more, guys. Here we go. Eric Squared and Jason.
Ooh.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the lighthearted entertainment each and every week. I was first introduced to your podcast and website a couple of years ago at the Midwest Gaming Classic. And I have been a fan ever since. I went back to the first podcast episode, and I have listened to all of them in order. He's trying to guilt trip us.
Yeah, what the...
I looked forward to the Retro Showdown each week, and I just want you to know that I have thoroughly enjoyed the show. As a single parent, my schedule didn't usually permit me to view the live stream as much as I would have liked to, or read all of the content on the site, but that doesn't stop me from appreciating all of the work that went into everything with One More Castle. Thank you for everything you three, and the other contributors too, have provided for the retro gaming community. I wish you all the best for the future. Who knows, maybe one day Jason might even enjoy Mega Man. So the question I leave with you is this. What would each of you say is your favorite three series from the website? Have a good one, and game on, Mike Larson. So we said our favorites earlier.
Now?
That should be. I know. It's impossible, right? So if I said Atari Poop, if that's my favorite, I got to pick two others real quick. Let me scroll through them. I'll have my answer ready in like 28 seconds. So you guys go.
So we got Atari Poop. I mean, I enjoy the podcast, if that's considered to be.
Can we say that?
I mean, you know.
Sure.
I will say this. I think it's one of the series that was short-lived, but I still enjoyed it, was the Two Decades Late.
Yes. With
Tom Hall reviewing Super NES games. But here's 20 why.
20 years after everyone else has played.
Yeah, like that was the thing. It's like this is one of the most popular consoles ever to be released in the history of the United States of America. You've never heard of these games?
One of the most popular.
I love how you got so excited you knocked your headphones off.
Knocked the headphones off. You've never heard of you've never played these games ever, like forever, like.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
I'm gonna go with two long defunct ones. Like we haven't had a new one in a while. It came from Japan. By
oh
Alana,
yeah, that was a good one.
She reviewed nothing but Japanese exclusive games. I liked it because I always learned something from her. Like she wasn't doing like a technical manual, like historical, authentic style of writing. She had a very fun, lighthearted, but it was a game I had no idea existed. Like Pingu, like there's these penguin games. There's this whole fandom around Pingu. I had no idea, but there's these games and, you know, Famicom, Super Famicom, exclusive like weird sequels on the Sega, just good stuff. The other one is MapQuest. That was a monthly special feature from Chris Carter, who is now one of the, like, they have this structure. They have like four editor in chiefs over at Destructoid, and he's one of them. He was a reviews editor, and now he does like a little bit of both. But yeah, he was cool enough to write some stuff for our site, and it's excellent stuff. I like maps, like being able to look at something and there's a lot of information on it. I like that. I also can't go anywhere without a map. I like that helps me actually it's useful to me. But like in his first one, he talked about handwritten, hand-drawn maps and notes and stuff, and that was the perfect encapsulation of what One More Castle is all about. Because a normal person might not understand the appeal of that. Like, why would I want to draw my own map when I can just, load up the map?
No other way of doing it.
Yeah. And, but that's so crazy. Like, they think it's like this inconvenient thing, but when you grow up with it, it was cool to, like, draw your own map and try and figure it out. You had games where you kept a piece of paper, you would write down the consecutive passwords every time you beat a level. Like, there was something uniquely enjoyable about that was intrinsic to that kind of gaming. There hasn't really been a game since Fez that forced you to like dive into the game but then step away and like be a person again and be like, okay, I'm really exploring this game and taking notes and taking a journal. So I appreciated MapQuest a lot. Shout out, kind of like a not quite what's the word, special thanks shout out, honorable mention, that's what I'm trying to go for. Honorable mention to Retro Power, the e-zine. I think it's a cool idea. I mean, like community-driven content, like fan art. Like they had one where they had like four or five pieces of like fan art people sent in. That was really cool. So that's my top 3.5.
Cool.
3.75.
Yeah, 3. It's really 4. Let's just call it 4. Jason, did you say yours?
I'm going to say, What the F is on this disc, Playing with Power, and because I have to work a continual joke in here, I'm going to say Dreamcastin', which lasted for one article, which was as long as the Dreamcast lasted.
Oh. It's true.
Gotta keep digging at the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
This is the last one.
Oh, shit.
Right. This is so. just so everybody knows, this is the.
8 hours later. Well, we got one more. Well,
2.5 years later. This is the last listener email discussion question we're ever going to do. Because we're not going to do it next week. It's true. Your time's up. If you send in emails, we're not going to get to them. I'm not doing it. I don't care what you write. So, this is the very last one. Last one, here we go. Hey, guys. I've been a fan and listener to One More Podcastle since I met the three of you at Indie PopCon last summer. So I was very sad to hear that you were ending the podcast. Your podcast has been my favorite thing to listen to on my commutes to and from work for the last year. I want my question to be a hysterical, why? But I figure that life, especially having a new baby, on top of the responsibilities of being an adult, all contribute to the reasons for ending the show. Now, for my question, I was wondering, what or who was your biggest influence or inspiration for gaming when you were a child? For instance, one of my first memories is of my mother playing Super Mario Bros. 2 in my bedroom when I was going to sleep, and often would play into the wee hours of the morning, much like Bailey's mother playing Zoop. So much of my influence of Nintendo and platformer games was from my mom, while my dad was a huge influence for PC games, as I used to watch him play Doom, Duke Nukem, Wolfenstein, etc. for hours. Also, nice. What's your all-time favorite dessert? Smiley face. Best wishes in all of your endeavors, both in gaming and in life, and please let us know if you plan to have another podcast. Sincerely, Natalie, a.k.a. Madam Toadstool. She's on Twitter, at Madam Toadstool. And she also has a YouTube channel, youtube.com/MadamToadstool. This one hurts because I do remember her, like, meeting her and stuff. So, dang.
Yeah.
So, what was your big gaming influence and what's your favorite dessert? This is your final answer.
Let's go first.
I can go. It's fine.
Go ahead, Hunter.
It's, yeah, it's definitely going to be my mom. But not in the same way. Like, she wasn't a gamer. She did not game. She didn't oppose to me playing video games. She actually defended me playing video games, especially when the whole, 92, 93 Mortal Kombat thing came about and Congress got involved and all that stuff. You know, I'd be sitting out in public playing Mortal Kombat as a young 8-year-old. And judging parents would come up, and my mom would step up and defend me for playing the game. And she would never say no to me wanting video games. She would never scold me for playing video games. She was never judgmental for me playing video games. She never thought I would get into it as much as I did. But now she laughs at my dad when they come to my house and my basement is just littered with video games, because my dad is famously known for saying, "This is just a fad. Why would you spend this much money on our kids? They'll never play these again." And I still have the exact console that she purchased us that started that conversation. So I make sure that he knows that. Still to this day, she's still buying me video games. Like she texted me. This was probably 4 or 5 months ago now. With Mortal Kombat X coming out. And it was just the funniest thing, because just out of nowhere, she sends me a text that says, "Hey, Mortal Kombat X looks really great." I'm like, yeah, it does. It does. It looks really good. Yeah, I've been seeing videos for it. And she's like, "So what do you think? You're going to get it?" And immediately I was like, "Mom, if you're going to buy this game for me, I have to stop you right now. I do not have a console that runs this game. Mortal Kombat X will never come out on the Wii U. Nintendo will not have it. That's all I have." Just for it. No, I wasn't going to get it for you. I was just asking. It just looked really good. And it's like, I'm going to be 30 this year, and my mom is still trying to buy me video games.
That's awesome.
Like, I would not be the person who I am if it weren't for my mom. Like, I would not be as educated, I would not be as attuned to the world, I would not be as free thinking if it hadn't been for my mom just letting me sit down and do whatever the hell that I wanted and just encourage me to do what I wanted to do, which was to play video games. I can still remember the day that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time came out for the Super NES. We special ordered it through the video store that she was working at, which was called Video Store. strangely enough. She let me stay home from school that day to play that game. Like, wow. She called the school and was like, oh, he's sick. He's in bed right now. I'm so sorry. Ocarina of Time came out, the exact same story. Like, when that game came out, like, she knew how overwhelmed I was with this game and how awestruck I was. And she knew, for better or for worse, that for me to take that day off at school to play this game, to experience what this game had to offer with zero distraction, like, that was her decision for me. And I love her every day for that. She is the biggest influence I will ever have for anything, especially video games. Take it away, Jason.
Yeah, there it is.
Damn.
Good luck following that up.
I guess I'm going to say my dad. I remember.
Are we going to get a TurboGrafx story?
No.
Though we have TurboGrafx. Oh, damn it.
No.
Dang it, son of a...
No, unfortunately not. No, I remember when Doom came out. So I was 5 when it came out. And I remember watching my dad playing Doom on our, like, Pentium 486 or 386. And he still plays games to the point, like, he's in a, I'll describe it as an old man Call of Duty clan, where it's him.
That's
and a
right, yeah, because, like, they're all, like, old, like, for real, like, yeah, war veterans, like, right? Yeah.
They're like, 50, they're 50 plus, they're all playing Call of Duty, some of them are, like, ex-military, they've had, like, people die of old age in the clan.
That's crazy.
Like, he's still playing it. Like, for the last 4 years, I've just bought him the newest Call of Duty for his birthday. I'm like,
just because, you know, that's what he wants.
Like, I know you want to play it, so you're on the Call of Duty subscription plan. But yeah, no, my dad just got me into gaming. My mom was never a huge fan. I wouldn't say she still is, but I remember playing hook up two computers and do, like, LAN fights of Unreal Tournament and...
Yes!
All kind of stuff. That was good. I'm going to say my dad.
Sweet.
Nice.
Well, if we're going to ping pong between parents, it's my turn to say mom. I can relate to a lot of what Hunter said. Kind of spookily so at a couple parts. Like, the whole, like, she never said no.
That's why you're not getting married. You too. You're too alike.
Right. I remember, like, she specifically
told me... We're just
going to
do it.
Like, I don't want to be the mom who says no. I want to be the mom who says yes. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I'm having a weird moment right now because I started gaming at a time in my life when I didn't have a father at home. And I'm now realizing, I've never had this thought before right at this moment, video games kind of were my dad for a few years.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. But yeah, my mom. I can remember, like, nights when I had homework to do from school. And I was like, ugh. And she's like, eh. We just played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 for hours instead. Yeah. I can remember she could never make fun of me for being too into games because she was the one who would get so frustrated she would stomp her feet and, like, just yell at the television screen. Like, you cheat! Like, she was convinced that, you know, the computer cheats, this controller is broken. I didn't tell her to do that. And, you know, because have you ever run into those people? You try to explain to them, mom, it's a machine. It can't do anything other than what your inputs tell it to. She's like, no, it cheats. That's my mom. She was the kind who, like, I got the wrong Clay Fighter 2. Like, I had a Sega, but I got the Super Nintendo Clay Fighter 2.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
A very well-meaning grandmother. And I don't remember how old I was, but I was such a whiny, wussy little crybaby about it, I ended up getting the Super Nintendo. Like, my mom got me a Super Nintendo. She's like, ugh, I can't deal with this.
Jeez, not this kid.
I really wanted to play Clay Fighter. She loved having a house full of people having fun. And if that meant that after church on Sunday, we had 4 friends over, and we had, like, 6 people switching in and out of Super Smash Brothers. Just screaming at the television, just having a blast. Like, she was happy with that being what our home was. And that was cool, because it wasn't like, you know, oh, Eric, I hope you become the world's best video game player. It was never like, you know, she She was good at making sure it was healthy in some fashion, even if it was a stretch. And I think that community gaming aspect, I hope, has obviously stuck with me as a fondness of mine ever since. So, yeah, my mom. My favorite dessert is my mom makes a thing called sugar cream pie.
All right, dessert.
That is very good. It's a sinful delicacy. It's really, it's just like you just eat it. It's just sweet. It's hard to describe the taste. It's just really good. My sister's in the live stream, like my real life sister. She probably has a good mom as gamer stories. No, I have one. Talking about still to this day buying video games. The last time she came up here was just her, just to see the baby for a little bit, right? Understandable. Because they live a few hours away. It's her first grandkid and all that. She brings this box, like this mystery box. And she's just kind of like got this sheepish look on her face. And I'm like, "What, Mom, what is it?" And she's like, "Don't be mad at me." And I'm like, "Ugh, did you buy another copy of Paper Mario? Like, what is up with you buying copies? Like, at Indie PopCon, she bought, like, games she already has one or two copies of. But she just likes the game so much, she buys it or she sees it. It's the weirdest, funniest thing." I'm like, "Is it another game you already have?" And she's like, "No." I'm like, "Mom, you just got to show me." And she opens this box. And she's like, "I got it at a garage sale for, like, $20. And it's like all of the best Nintendo DS games and Nintendo DS.
Nice.
I mean, like,
nice.
Super Mario Brothers, Pokemon, Legend of Zelda, Professor Layton. I mean, like if you were to pick like the top 15 best DS games, she got them all in one fell swoop.
Wow.
I didn't get to play them or anything. She just wanted to show me and then take them back home.
That's amazing.
That's my mom. I got it for $20 on garage sale. Don't be mad. It's cool.
See ya.
Mom, enjoy. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So favorite desserts, guys.
Does ice cream count as a dessert?
Yep.
Yeah, ice cream.
But you have to tell us what kind of ice cream, because everyone has a favorite flavor.
Just, I like a good French vanilla.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Does beer count as a dessert?
Does beer count as a dessert?
Are you a chocolate stout guy?
No, but I ask that because, like, anytime, like, the wife and I go to a restaurant or something, like, we typically have a drink or two just for dinner, and, like, we stuff ourselves on dinner and appetizers, and then, you know, the server comes around and like, "All right, so here's what we got for dessert," and it's like, "Oh, no, doctor said liquid diet, our dessert's right here." Like, just keep drinking that beer. Nice. Plus, I don't like dessert, so.
What?
I don't like dessert.
I don't know if this marriage is
going to work out. I don't eat dessert. So, well, I mean, you can introduce me to new and exciting things, Jason.
All right, there we go. That's why we're getting married.
For our date night.
All right.
So, yeah, that's it.
Wow,
that's all the listener emails ever. They're all done.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, those were some touching emails. Gosh. Yeah, there's a lot that could be said, but again, I don't want to be here for like 10 hours. And
it's
still
not like we're
episode.
Going away.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, that's the biggest thing is, who was I talking to the other day about this? Like, it's the site's closing, but we're not dying. Like, we're all going to be on Twitter. We're all going to be doing our own probably gaming projects. Maybe not Jason. I mean, we might do another like mod console Frankenstein monster. But yeah. Like, I see One More Castle as a thing that I did that was really cool, and I'm proud of it. That I, like, yeah, it sucks, but it's also great.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm on Twitter. You can ask me personal questions all you want. It's fine. I have no
That's
problems.
True. Whatever you want. You can, ask me stuff. So just so we're clear, next week is all Showdown. We're each going to bring our favorite game. We're going to pick our one favorite game, bring it, spend an hour just talking about our favorite games.
Yeah.
That struck us as a good way to close it out. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. I mean, normally we have like reminders here, but not really necessary. I mean,
just
what are you going to do? Fire
episode?
Us? I do want to give a special shout out to those who made the live stream tonight, though. People like Valerie Minnick, Michael Larson. Oh, Michael Larson's here. Jonathan Higgins, Eric Hunter, Jonathan Alley. Why did I mention Hunter? Brent Jareski, Oliver Allison, and Paul Sharp. So, thank you guys so much for being listeners. for being an audience, for being question askers. It's kind of humbling to think that for us, it's just something we enjoy doing, is hanging out, talking about old video games. But to you, it was something you enjoy just listening to. That's cool. So, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. And I can say this one more time. We'll see you next week.